Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome to Nightlight. It's funny to say that because it's lighter later and later, but we're still winding down together every night here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're broadcasting live tonight statewide all over Wisconsin from beautiful downtown Green Bay, back on my home court here at WGBW at City Deck Landing. On a beautiful night in Wisconsin, I hope it's been a great day for you wherever you are and wherever you're tuning in from. So glad to have you with me on this Tuesday edition of Nightlight. Conrad is back. How was your vacation, dude?
Yeah, it was good.
You're under the weather, though. You're like quarantined over there.
Yeah, just a little bit.
You wearing your mask?
I am. Yes.
So right now you're talking through a mask?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that hard to talk through one.
Wow. Okay. Gamer.
I guess so.
What did you do? Did you do like a COVID test or something?
Well, yeah. I went to a little walk-in today, tested for a couple of things, but I think it's just mainly allergies.
Okay.
Get them pretty bad, so.
Do you? Yeah, this is the time.
Mm-hmm.
Did they test you for scurvy?
Close. Strep throat.
Okay. And you're negative?
Yes.
All right. Well, good for you. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad. How was your wedding?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They had a really cool ceremony outside and then the party afterwards inside and stuff. So it was
nice.
Fun.
Did they do the chicken dance? That's my question.
No.
No?
No chicken dance.
How can a Wisconsin wedding not do a chicken dance?
I'm not sure.
Did you say something?
I did not.
Okay. That's not your place. All right. Well, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, good to be back.
Good to be back, is it? Okay, good. Let's get you a good night's rest, though. Some NyQuil?
Yes, definitely.
All right. If you don't feel like talking tonight, just let me know. I'm going to keep talking to you until you admit that you don't want to talk.
I'll just leave a really long silence.
Just give me the big wave through the glass. Stop it. So, fun show tonight. I've got a really, really good musician coming up as my first guest at 7:35. Eric Chellin will be here from the Mascot Theory. We played some Mascot Theory music about 3 weeks ago that Terry Barr found for us when she came on to promote Max Inc. on a Friday night. And I loved the song, loved the band, and she lined up Eric being on the show tonight. He will not be in studio, but we will play some of his music, and he will talk about his new album and some Wisconsin dates they have coming up. That will be fun. They are really good. If you go to their website, I love that they do this because sometimes I think bands kind of sit on their music, as they should. They roll it out slowly so people buy their work. But on their website, I saw they have like videos for all their songs on the album, and I was like, rifling through it tonight because I'd already heard about three songs from the Mascot Theory, but gave a few more a listen tonight. Really good stuff. So that'll be 7:35. Our old pal Kurt Krause will be here at sometime after 8 o'clock. We'll talk to Kurt. He is part of a new film festival in Wisconsin that addresses mental health, and it sounds really cool, and it takes place in Madison in a couple weeks. So we will talk to Kurt about that. He is fresh off a Stephen King contest, a film that he acted in and helped produce. So it'll be fun to catch up with Kurt. He'll be in studio sometime in the 8 o'clock hour. Let's get some business out of the way. I love reading this because it's so fun to have a sponsor for Nightlight. Nightlight with Pete Schwabach is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com. to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room on 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. I was just there last night, did the show from Madison, as I mentioned, and drove by this spot. It is beautiful, folks. If you have not checked out the Minocqua Brewing Company's new tap room on East Wash, check it out if you're in the Madison area. Also, I will be there next Tuesday night. We'll be doing a remote from the Tap Room. And that'll be fun. We'll have some fun guests. Be a live show. I believe Busted Pencils was there this evening. And anxious to talk to those guys to see how that went. It was really fun. I was on their show for a few minutes yesterday. And Tim and Johnny, so much fun. Good guys and a good show. If you have not checked out the Civic Media app, I recommend you do it. If you like listening to all the shows or some of the shows, take the app with you. You can take it wherever you go. It's very user-friendly. Our show, Nightlight, is on statewide. So you click on any one of the stations and you'll get Nightlight. And it's easy to take part in the show too and interact. You just click on the text icon and you can let us know your thoughts throughout the course of the show. As I always love reading them on the air and love hearing what you guys think. You ready to take some text, Conrad?
Of course.
All right. Hey, tell people how they can watch on the stream, will you?
Yeah. So on Facebook, we're under Nightlight with Pete Chihuahua and under WGBW. On YouTube, we're under Civic Media. And on X or Twitter, under WGBW.
WGBW. There you go. Give us a like if you feel like it. Yeah. Also, checking in already on the stream, Sherry from Horicon. She says, hi, Pete from Horicon. Hi, Sherry. Good to see you. Good to have you with us tonight on the stream. I have to tell you, today is, I got to get this off my chest. This might not be a popular stance, but today is National Raisin Day. And raisins suck. And I don't, is there anything worse than a raisin in any food you're eating? I can handle it in raisin bran. I can handle it in small doses. But really, when you bite into a raisin, whether it's in a muffin or cereal or a cookie, it is the worst part of the experience. Why do we eat raisins? I guess there's some fiber. Some people like them because they're sweet and not terribly unhealthy. But I don't think they're good for your teeth. They stick to your teeth. I've had dentists tell me, avoid chewy stuff like that. Why do we eat raisins? And that's tonight's question. Is there anything worse than the raisin? I'm being a little dramatic. But I don't like raisins. Tell me what your thoughts are on raisins, folks. Let's talk about this. And if you eat them, I don't understand. Like, they ruin a good cookie. They ruin a good muffin. They ruin cereal. It's a consistency. It's like even in raisin bran, you're crunching along. You're in a good groove. And then, boom, your teeth are stuck together because of this gross raisin that used to be a grape. Conrad, they used to be grapes, right?
Yes.
You know that for a fact?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought, but I panicked there because we're on live radio. So I don't get it. And then they become even worse. They become prunes. It's just like it's like a dissension into disgustingness. Am I on an island here, folks? Let me know. I trust you, the listeners, to set me straight if I am. But is there anything worse than the raisin? That is tonight's question, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let me know if I'm wrong. If you love the raisin, if you can't get enough raisins, you are absolutely welcome to defend that particular food group. I just don't get it. It's also National Adopt a Shelter Pet Day, which I think is pretty cool. I focused on the raisin. I could have gone positive and talked about people who adopt shelter pets. And I chose to chastise the raisin. And I think I'm right to do so. Some good birthdays today. I saw this too. The 7 best villains in movie history. You know, you can find these things all over online. All kinds of lists. But I thought this was kind of cool. 7 great movie villains. I'm going to focus in on one of them. How long are those clips, Conrad? 3 minutes?
Yeah.
And we break them up because I have to set these up because they're just... Have you seen the movie Collateral?
No.
Okay. You got to see it. That's a great movie to watch while you're sick, by the way.
I feel like any movie's just good to watch when you're sick.
Mm, I don't know.
I like comfort movies.
Like what? What's a comfort movie?
Oh, Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Any Adam Sandler movie, except for Jack and Jill.
Adam Sandler does not make you uncomfortable? What about funny. Uncut Gems?
That's
that
not
was serious
no,
discomfort.
Yeah,
that was
no,
horrible.
That's not a comfort movie.
That was hard to watch. It was a webpage, Startifacts, they called it. The seven smartest villains that alone make their movies worth watching. So we'll get into that next. And we're also going to hear a song from The Mascot Theory. But right now, something else I wanted to complain about too. I'm just in one of those moods. You ever get in one of those moods, Conrad?
Yeah, I could complain about allergies right now.
Yeah. You sneezing all over the board?
No, actually, it's all a sore throat. Just, yeah, so.
So I saw this last night. I was in my hotel room in Madison, and a commercial came on for the Skunky. Have you heard of this?
I have not heard of
the
Skunky.
The Skunky.
Nope.
This is something you take. It's like a little washcloth when you can't take a shower. And you rub it all over your body. And it's supposed to clean you up when you don't have access to a shower. And it's called a Skunky. Interesting name. And they show all these people. To their credit, not everybody was like a Greek god. You know, they show regular people wiping their bodies down with the Skunky. Kind of sounds like the Snuggie. But it's the Skunky. And you wipe yourself down. It's supposed to clean you up. And then they said only one family pack per order. That didn't make any sense to me. Like, why would you limit? Hey, we really want to sell this stuff, but don't go thinking you're going to buy too much of it. Because that's going to set us back. Like, we are paying for them, right? Don't you want to make money? I'm curious, though. Sometimes, you know, you need a shower and you don't have access to an actual shower. Also, on this day in 1976, which I think is really cool because Bruce Springsteen, which you hear right now playing in the background, jumped the fence at Graceland in an attempt to see his idol. That would be Elvis Presley, who was a big influence on the Boss. The Boss has surpassed him tenfold, but I think that's kind of cool. I love hearing stories about great artists that, as great as we think they are, they still have idols too, and they get silly when they're around them. Hey, why do we eat raisins? Answer that question for me, folks. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. When we come back, we're talking Collateral. That's up next. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. From The Mascot Theory joins me at 7:35. We'll hear a little bit of their music in just a few minutes. Such great stuff. It's going to be fun to talk to him. And Kurt Krause, local actor, Northeast Wisconsin actor Kurt Krause, will join me in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. So I'm talking about the raisin tonight, folks. I don't like it. I don't like anything about it. I don't like the consistency of it. I don't like the texture. I just don't like them. It doesn't mean I won't eat them. Like with a handful of, like, what do you call it, trail mix, I'll muscle it down. But the peanuts and the M&Ms are the best part. You don't need the raisin in there to muck it up. Even though it's probably the most healthy thing in the configuration, I just don't like raisins. Stacy Sue over the stream watching on Facebook says, not a fan of raisins. Always disappointed when eating a cookie and bite into a raisin thinking it was a chocolate chip. I am so with you, Stacy Sue. I've done that by accident. I've said, I'll have one of these cookies and I'll point thinking it's chocolate chip. And then I leave and I'm all excited and I bite into a raisin. And it's like my whole day is ruined. Sherry says, yes. So you like the wine version? Oh, of the grape. Yes, I do. I'll take the wine version of the grape over the raisin version. Very astute, Sherry. Sherry's on it. Conrad's mom checking in. She says, I like raisins, especially in oatmeal raisin cookies. Yum. I'm trying to talk like your mom would, Conrad. Am I getting anywhere close to that?
No.
No? How would she say that?
I can't do it.
Yeah, you can. It's your mom, and you could say it like we would picture your mom saying that with an allergy.
No, I'm not gonna.
You are such a chicken. She says, "All right, I'll read it like Conrad's mom would read it if she wasn't happy with Conrad." I like raisins, especially in oatmeal raisin cookies. Yum. Conrad forgot to take the garbage out.
That was close.
That was close. Yeah, right. Being too kind. Did you have chores to do when you were young?
Oh, of course, yeah.
What was the one you hated to do the most while you were eating raisins?
Wait. I never ate raisins, so.
All right, we're on the same page.
I don't like outside work, so I would say that.
I'm the same way, dude. I'm with you there. From the 920, Steve says, I got to say, Pete, you might be on a Keys Island. I could live with that. Raisins are good and natural food. You got to try together raisins and black licorice. Oh, my God.
No.
Raisins and black licorice, Steve? He says a winning combination.
I've never seen him eat those together. So.
I think he's messing with you, Conrad. He's mad that I tried to imitate your mom. He's being a good husband, sticking up for her. I don't know, Steve. I think you're the one on the island there, buddy. And you're on a pretty good island, so. Raisins and black licorice. What do you wash that down with? A cup of anise juice. Something that sounds horrible. Does your dad eat black licorice?
I honestly didn't think he did, but yeah, he does.
Wow. Yeah, he must. Your dad does not strike me as a liar. I believe him. From the 920, Jim says, because they are smaller than prunes, there must be more to that text. Yeah, they are. So that makes them more tolerable, Jim? Is that your point? I don't know. Carmella from the 414 says, Pete, dare I admit this, but me and my friends called a skunky a whore bath. Can we say that in the air?
I would shy away from it.
Okay. She put yikes after, like she knew she was saying something immoral. Yeah, Carmella, I don't know. Anybody can use them, so who am I to judge? They show construction workers, though, on the ad. Like, you know, they're out working in the hot sun, and they got to go home, and they're all sweaty. Or a woman working in the garden who doesn't have a chance. So Carmella is familiar with the skunky, though. That was the first I ever heard of it last night. Bridget says, Raisinettes, my movie staple. Raisins should not ruin your day, Pete. Half of this is for effect. And you know what? If a raisin was doused in chocolate, that would make it more tolerable. So good for you, Bridget. That's a good point. I'll ease up on the raisin. So this thing I saw, it talked about 7 movie villains. And who doesn't love a great movie villain? Number 7 is John Doe from 7, played by Kevin Spacey. Number 6 is the talented Mr. Ripley, from the talented Mr. Ripley, Tom Ripley. Number 5, Kaiser Sose from The Usual Suspects. Number 4, Hans Gruber from Die Hard. That's a good one. Watchmen, and then Collateral. Vincent from Collateral. Number 1 is Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter, which I felt was a little over the top. As great as Anthony Hopkins is, I've probably talked about that on this show too. I like the Hannibal Lecter from Manhunter better, played by Brian Cox. But Vincent from Collateral. This is a great scene I want to play for you guys right now. Vincent has been hired to kill 5 people in one night. He hires Jamie Foxx, a cab driver, to drive him around. Jamie Foxx is not supposed to know why he's driving Vincent around, but he finds out. He's contracted to kill 5 people. And here's the first scene. They go into a jazz club, and he's talking to the guy who owns the jazz club about Miles Davis. That's where we pick up the scene. We just think Vincent is interested in jazz, and Jamie Foxx just goes along with the conversation. Go ahead, Conrad.
That was Miles, man. That's the way he was when he was in his musical headspace. Fierce.
But did you get to talk to him?
I'm better than that.
No.
I played for about 20 minutes.
Unbelievable.
How'd you do?
How'd I do? Well, you really ain't when you're playing next to Miles Davis. But he carried my ass.
What did he say?
He said one word.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. It meant good, but not ready. It meant, look me up when you are.
Did you?
No. I got drafted and ran into some other things, and by the time I got back to music, season had passed. But you know, I was born in 1945, but that night was the... moment of my conception, right here in this room.
Cry's not here now?
Yeah, no, well, jazz ain't the draw that it used to be.
What a great story. Mm. I gotta tell the people in Culiacan and Cartagena that story.
You know the folks in Culiacan and Cartagena?
Rich, huh?
That is when I thought you were a cool guy.
I'm a cool guy. The job I contracted to do.
Come on, listen. Give the dude a pass.
I'm working here.
No, listen. You don't want to sit up here talking about improvisation and everything like that. You like the guy. You like how he plays. Let's just play a little jazz. Come on.
Improvise. That's funny coming from you.
That's Tom Cruise playing Vincent in Collateral. He goes into a jazz club, starts talking to the owner of the club, and we find out the owner of the club is one of the guys he's contracted to kill. And that's what makes Vincent such a great bad guy in Collateral, and one of Tom Cruise's best acting roles, in my opinion. He's just talking to a guy, and then he segues into the icy cold hitman that he is. And we'll play the second half of that scene next. Eric Chellin is here from The Mascot Theory. He's going to be on in just a couple minutes. We're going to hear some awesome music that they have. He's been a guest on this show via one of his songs, but he's never been here with us talking to us and answering my musical questions, so that'll be fun to talk to him. We'll find out if he likes raisins, too. You think he likes raisins, Conrad?
I hope he doesn't, because I don't like raisins
either.
Seems
like it could be bad for your voice. I don't know. Maybe we'll give him that advice. He might need to hear that. And then Kirk Krause in the second hour. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. So glad you're with me on this Tuesday night. We'll read more of your text too. Coming up next.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwab, a podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwab anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwab.
Welcome back. Do you hate raisins? I do. Am I wrong? I got a raisin discussion going here, folks, and I'd love for you to join it. Is there anything worse than the raisin? It's technically the question. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And Jim clarifies, Jim from Appleton says, yes, raisins are more tolerable than prunes. That's why I eat them. Figs are an entirely different conversation. They also stick to your teeth. I don't mind figs as much as raisins, though. Alan Rickman is one of the greatest bad guy actors of all time. That is true. He was great. I will say, to finish our conversation about movie bad guys, Vincent from Collateral. Okay, so before the break, we heard him go in. He talked to a jazz club owner, and we find out through the conversation about Miles Davis that Vincent is very interested in. He segues back into Hitman, and we realize this jazz club owner is one of the people on Vincent's list of five that night that he is supposed to kill. He hires Jamie Foxx to drive him around in a cab to do that. Jamie Foxx got wind of why he was hired and is in and knows now what he's doing, and he obviously does not approve. But Tom Cruise, and the actor in the jazz club scene, is so great. His name is Barry Shabaka Henley. He's a phenomenal character actor. Phenomenal actor. Doesn't matter. Character actor. I don't like that term. He's a great actor. And he knows he's about to be killed by Vincent. And here's the way the rest of that scene plays out. Go ahead, Conrad.
How's this? I'll ask a question.
What question?
Jazz question. Hey, you get it right. We roll. You disappear tonight.
If I walk out of here tonight, I will go so far away it'll be just like I was dead. And one more thing. These people and their rep here, Felix, well, you tell them I'm sorry. You tell them I had to. They laid a grant of immunity on me. I was compelled. It was either play ball or go back inside, and I'm not going back. Laid on me.
Where did Miles learn music?
I know everything there is to know about Miles.
Then let's have it.
Music school. He got it in music school, right?
His father was a dentist. East St. Louis. invested in agriculture, made plenty of money. He sent Miles to Juilliard School of Music, New York, 1945.
Tripped out of Juilliard after listening to your track down Charlie Parker on 52nd Street, who mentored him for the next 3 years.
Just so cold-blooded. Tom Cruise, the guy answers the question. Tom Cruise shoots him in the head at close range anyway, catches his head, and finishes the answer with the dead guy's head in his hand as Jamie Foxx watches on, looks on horrified. I saw that scene in the theater, and it blew me away. I couldn't believe how well executed it was. No pun intended. It was just phenomenal. Just a great scene. That's from Collateral. Tom Cruise ranked number 2 on this list I just saw of bad movie villains. Okay, we're going to pivot here to something happy, music. And an artist I first became aware of about 3 or 4 weeks ago when Terry Barr was on the show. Almost every Friday, Terry comes on and talks about who her guest will be on Max Inc. on Saturday night. And she introduced us to the band The Mascot Theory. And they were great, weren't they, Conrad?
Yeah, definitely.
We heard a song they played called, what was it, Getaway?
Fast Car Getaway.
Fast Car Getaway, great song. And now we have the lead singer and songwriter of The Mascot Theory, Eric Challen, joins us here on Nightlight. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going really well. Wow, look at that cool studio you have there. Is that your home studio you're set in?
Yeah, this is our practice space. This is where the magic happens.
Yeah. Well, you got a lot of magic. You were on Max Inc. just a couple weeks ago. How did that go?
It was a blast. We weren't really sure. We've never really gone on a live show like that where we've got, you know, the electric gear. Normally it's acoustic. We might bring an acoustic guitar and a cajon drum. And this time we're like, oh, they're set up for electric. Let's give it a shot. So we brought all the guitars. It was a lot of fun.
That's so great. Tell us about, you have a new album out, Every Sign of Life. Can you tell us about the new album from Mascot Theory?
Look at that.
Oh, I like that.
That's it.
That's why you got to watch in the stream, folks. He's holding up the album. Yes. What is
that? Oh, that's true.
That's okay.
This isn't good for radio, is it? This is the vinyl version here. This is the cover for it, which, you know, the artwork looks so much better when it's 12-inch by 12-inch instead of the little CD format or the little thumbnail that you might see.
Absolutely.
So we're super happy about it. Yeah, it came out last week officially, and we recorded this album down in Texas with producer Terry Manning, who's worked with like incredible artists like ZZ Top and Led Zeppelin back in the day, and a lot of Stax Records artists like Booker T, and just so many amazing, amazing artists. And now I'm sure we're the feather in his cap, so we're very excited to be a part of that legacy that he's made for himself. But yeah, we're just excited to get this thing out and share this music with everybody.
I love that you're putting out vinyl. Is that kind of a new, not new thing, obviously, but are more and more artists doing that now?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've definitely seen less and less CDs being sold out there, especially when cars and computers don't have CD players in them anymore, the newer ones.
But they don't have record players in them either. That's what's
right. I think they skip a little bit maybe if you try to do that. But I think it's just more of a, you know, it seems like, I don't know, the youth of today seems to be very interested in this format, which is very interesting to me because this was something that my parents grew up with. That was what they listened to music on. And I kind of was at the end of that where they kind of switched over to CDs as well when I was growing up. So I didn't really have a whole lot of access to the vinyl. I saw it on the shelf, my dad's old vinyl on the shelf, but it didn't really get played. And then, you know, years ago, I think in 2017, I started working with Butch Vig of Garbage, the producer. And we came together to put this project called Wisconsin Vinyl Collective. So that was really my first time ever producing vinyl, actually getting the manufacturing process done. It was a charity fundraiser for the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund. And we pulled together as many bands from across the state of Wisconsin or bands with ties to Wisconsin, like Butch's Emperors of Wyoming. We got the Bodines and Violent Femmes, and we ended up doing three different volumes of this Wisconsin vinyl collective. And it was just a blast to be able to pull all these bands together and get it onto this old format that, yeah, suddenly is kind of back. I think they've sold more vinyl than CDs, I think, is what I keep seeing year after year. So it's pretty incredible.
I really love that younger people are finding vinyl. And I'll tell you why. Technology is so perfect now. CDs are flawless. You have movies that look beautiful. However, YouTube, which can look very raw, the stuff people post, but if it's interesting, people will watch it. Even if they post an independent film on it, if it's raw, it doesn't matter if people are engaged in the story. Same thing with vinyl. If they're engaged in a song and it has that vinyl sound, it adds some grit. And I actually love that.
Yeah, it's not overcompressed. You know, there's a lot of debate what sounds better. Is it a lot of people are, hey, vinyl just sounds so much warmer and so much better. And,
yeah.
Some people are like, no, there's pops and clicks and hisses. And if it's scratched, you get that. So it's kind of like two different camps. But I think that the main thing is what I think vinyl represented was a shared experience or I'm going to sit down and listen to this album. I'm going to, you know, back in the day when you got this large format, you're looking at these pictures. You don't have the internet. So you're looking at pictures. You're reading all the liner notes. You're seeing who was involved in it. Who are these characters that created this crazy music or this stuff that I'm really enjoying. And you really just kind of dove into it. And I think that has been a little lost, you know, especially when the veil of mystery has been taken off of most artists these days. It seems like it's flipped. Like people want to see everything about an artist because you can. You've got, you know, show me a TikTok of you brushing your teeth or something. You know, they can know anything and everything on the internet. So I think it's a very different thing, but it is interesting that it's come back. It's resurged as a format that I think people just, again, want to get to something that's just not on their phone. That's just not something that streams. It's just a physical thing that they can hold on to and touch.
Eric, tell me, you just mentioned Butch Vig. I had the pleasure of interviewing Butch a couple times on a show I host on PBS and also at a film festival. And it wasn't until that interview that hearing him talk about the art of producing that I really realized how much producers bring to an artist. Like, you already have a song. You take it to a producer like Butch or like in this case, Terry Manning, who produced ZZ Top and, like you said, Led Zeppelin. What does a producer do for something you've already created? How do they enhance the artistic process?
I think it totally varies. There's different human beings have different ways of doing things. There's different artists that need to be coaxed in a certain ways to get the best out of what they can do. For us, we've always self-produced everything that we've done for the most part. We're working in for all the previous albums. We're working in studios. We bring the songs in. We're well rehearsed. A producer / engineer that's sitting there is gonna, at the most basic, is gonna try to get you to get the best take you can possibly get. To be that outside ear that's not the band, that's not the songwriter, someone who says, "Hey, that was a good take. Let's do one more." You know, that's because if you get in your own head, you're like, all right, was that good enough? Or maybe you're like, none of these are good. Like, yeah. I can't do anything right now. So it just depends on what the situation is with the band. And so when we worked with Terry before we went down to Texas to work on this, we were definitely a little nervous because we had no idea. We hadn't really worked in that kind of an atmosphere where some producers come in and they just take a song, they listen to it, and they just completely deconstruct a thing and just completely build it back up again, which is fascinating. And we were ready to do that, but I was scared because we were very well rehearsed and ready to go, maybe too rehearsed. But once we got down there and we started working with Terry, the way he worked was perfect. He actually made the studio really comfortable for us so that what we were doing and the way we actually recorded is the same way we rehearse in my studio here. We're all together in the same room. So it can be very different because you could just totally have, okay, we're just going to do the drummer on this one and nobody else. And that's not the way that we did it. We did it the way that we're a live band. So we want to play together. And so he really tailored his production skills to the way that we rehearse, the way that we play live. And it made it super comfortable. We planned to do 6 songs down there. We came away with 15.
Wow.
And so it was just super comfortable. We didn't deconstruct the songs at all. We just really went in and got the best possible takes on some of the best gear in the world. And with one of the best ears with Terry, the producer, to say, that's the take, or let's try another one, or let's try this, let's try that. But really it was just the comfort was the big thing that we walked away with, and we felt pretty good about it.
You kind of just answered my next question, but I still am curious, like when you go down there with the credits that Terry has, is there instant trust, or are you still have to find that comfort level with any producer?
I would say you definitely would have to find a comfort level. When I've read about different producers that do that kind of, let's tear it all down and let's take the drummer and put him on a guitar and put the singer on drums and do all of that crazy stuff to maybe try to coax something out of you that wasn't there before. That was nerve-wracking. If that were what Terry wanted to do with us, that was going to be, for one, we're paying for studio time. So to me, that's like, oh, maybe it's a waste of time to do that. I can see there could be some instance if you're getting really creative on songs, or you're maybe not, you don't have the songs quite built up as much as, like, we play a lot of this stuff live already, to really try it out and see how it goes. So we really knew how we wanted the songs to go, but again, we were open to anything. But with Terry, we went down there and he didn't have us change anything. You know, he just had us get the best possible takes that we can. And because we were so productive, what it allowed us to do is to look at songs that the band had never even played before. I write the songs for the band, and I had a couple songs that were kind of sitting around, one that I had recorded on a solo album back in the COVID days. And then another song that was completely brand new, and we had time. So it was like, should we try these songs out? These are definitely nothing that we've rehearsed at all. This is definitely not that comfort level. But because Terry just made the atmosphere so inviting and just a safe space, and really, he picked us up from the airport. You know, that was like step one. He picks us up from the airport. I'm riding back with him to the studio. At this particular studio, on this campus.
Let's pick it up right there, okay? And when we come back next, we're going to hear Fast Car Getaway, a great song from Mascot Theory. Eric Jellins here. We're having fun on Nightlight. This is Pete Schwab and the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up in hour number two, Kurt Krause will be here to talk about a new film festival in Madison that deals primarily with mental health. That'll be a fun discussion. Kurt's always fun to talk to. And a pretty darn good actor, too. Right now, Eric Challand is on the program with me. He is the lead singer and main songwriter, would you say, Eric, for the Mascot Theory?
Yes, I write the songs for the band.
Yeah, so we have very hard breaks. I didn't mean to cut you off right before the break. No worries. But please continue with your story about Terry Manning picking you up from the airport. That's a pretty cool little perk.
Yeah, he, you know, that's I think what just started the comfort level with us. To your first question there, that's we kind of knew right then that this is just a guy. This is just a human. Like, I mean, you kind of automatically just stop. And the same thing was with Butch when I met him the first time. It was like you put him in these high regards, you know their pedigrees, you know their discographies, all the things they've worked on, and it's overwhelming when you think about all the stars they've helped make. And the music that they've made, the classic stuff. And then you meet them and you're like, I'm sure there's some people out there that are just up there. But for me, with meeting Butch and meeting Terry, they're just normal guys. They're just super nice guys. And we got along really well. It just went.
That's so great
down there.
Yeah. We're going to hear the song Fast Car Getaway. Can you tell us anything, give us some background about the song before we play it, or what inspired you for it?
Yeah, I think this song was definitely about, you know, it's kind of like a legacy. What happens once, I guess, to be frank, once your life is over, what happens? You know, once a event that you're doing, when that's over, what happens after the fact? You know, sometimes it's a clean break and boom, we're on to the next thing, or boom, you're on to whatever's after this life. And that's kind of what this song was reflecting. Like, sometimes you get a nice, ceremonious, slow, here's the end. And sometimes it's like, boom, that's the end. That's it. Moving on to the next thing.
Like a thief in the night. Exactly. All right. This is the song Fast Car Getaway. That is the voice of Eric Challen. And you're going to hear his voice singing this song now. This is Fast Car Getaway from Mascot Theory on Nightlight.
expecting there to be a slow decay. Sometimes the story gets an ending with a fast car getaway. Take a bow,
take a bow,
take one last look around. Take a bow,
take a bow,
take one last look around. Songs and they sing along, scatter words like pennies on the ground. But a day will come and they'll sing all the words to someone else's songs. And at the end, were you expecting there to be a slow decay? Sometimes the story gets an ending with a fast car getaway. Take a bow,
take a bow,
take one last look around. Take a bow,
take a bow,
take one last look around. Take a bow,
take a bow,
take one last look around. Take a bow,
take a bow,
take one last look. You expecting there to be a slow decay, walking straight into a bright light as the final music fades. Take a bow,
take a bow,
take one last look around. Take a bow,
take a bow,
take one last look around. Take a bow,
take a bow,
take one last look around. Take a bow.
Such a great song. Where does the name of the band come from, Mascot Theory?
It actually came from before we even had the band. A friend of mine at work, we would come up with these band names, and then we just had a list that we just kept writing them down. It was just like, oh, that's a funny name. That's like a band name. Let's write it on the list. And we had an NCAA bracket that we would do at work, and he would always choose his teams based on whatever school mascot would win in a fight. So we called it the Mascot Theory. And he literally lost every time horribly because it made no sense whatsoever. Right. But I always thought it was funny. And so when we started this band, it was kind of a makeshift accident when we got together to play with this group of guys. And it was a one-time show we were going to do. And so we threw a name on it. I grabbed it from that list because I always thought it was funny. And then it stuck. 13 years later, it's the band name still.
I remember hearing, it's so funny where bands come up with their names, because the name Pearl Jam, they were big NBA fans and they loved the player Mookie Blaylock. They liked his name, and I heard they almost named their band Mookie Blaylock. So yeah, I'm glad they did. But you know, you never know where a good name is going to come from. That's great.
Exactly. And the big thing is there a .com available? Can we get the .com?
And that interesting.
TheMascotTheory.com was available, so we went with it.
That's great. Okay, so my guest is Eric Challen. He is the lead singer for The Mascot Theory. Coming up next, we're going to find out where you can see them play live. They got big shows coming up, and I'd love to ask you about the Wisconsin music scene in general, Eric, if you can stick around for a few minutes.
Absolutely.
All right, fantastic. Eric Challen from The Mascot Theory. More with him when we come back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Thanks for being with me on this Tuesday night. Let's all hate raisins together.